When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff I'll Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio.
Yes, and welcome to Women Around the World. So, happy Women's History Month. And if you are a new listener, thanks for joining us. And as a reminder, for us here on Spinty, women's history includes all those who identify as women and that they are women. So, with so many violations and continued persecutions against the trans and queer community, we think it's important that we reiterate the statement as much as possible. And it's been a minute before we said that. And as another reminder or introduction, whether or not you just hopped on to this Sminty fam listening party or not, we are all about intersectionality. And that means, quote, the complex, cumulative way in which the effects of multiple forms of discrimination, such as racism, sexism, and classism, combine, overlap, or intersect, especially in the experience of marginalized individuals or groups. Thank you, Merriam-Webster. Yes, intersectional feminism was coined by Kimberly Crenshaw, and we adhere to those ideas. So if that offends you in any way, you may not want to listen anymore because we're going to keep on offending you. Yay or nay,
Evil
Annie.
Laugh.
I'm just telling you.
Being straightforward.
So moving on to our series on women around the world. Today we are doing a look at some of the amazing women of the 2022 Winter Olympics. Yeah, we know we are a little late. It's March 11th, 2022, if you wanted to know. But hey, we made it. It's happening.
Also, the Paralympics are going on right now. So
yes,
note.
And we will come back to that. It is going on right now. There's some good things happening. For this Olympics specifically, the amount of women competing has almost equaled out to the men who are competing as well, with women making up 45.4% of the athletes competing, which is a record high. However, it should also be noted that there are not as many opportunities / categories for women to compete in. But hey, baby steps, I guess?
Yeah, I guess.
And in this Olympics, it has had its number of scandals with calls for boycotting, possibly missing athletes, doping, et cetera. But there has been also cause for celebration. So let's talk about some of that.
Yes. So first up is Eileen Gu, or as some call her, Snow Princess or Princess. A California resident competing for China who won gold in the free ski halfpipe and became the first athlete to reach the podium in three different freestyle skiing events. She also won gold in big air and the silver medal in slopestyle. And not surprisingly, she has been criticized for her decision to compete for China, But that doesn't change her wins or her accomplishments.
Right. And there is an in-depth conversation with her in some of her interviews when they talk about that. And she just talks about that her nationality is both Chinese and American. And I think that is something to know as a person who was born in Korea. I really wish I kind of had some citizenship still attached to me. But being adopted, of course, that's a whole different conversation. Dual citizenship just sounds cool anyway. So That's me, whatever. then there's Elena Myers Taylor, who has become the most decorated Olympic bobsledder after winning a bronze medal in Beijing and the most decorated Black athlete in the Olympics. Yay! The Beijing Olympics was her fourth Olympic Games. Mayor Taylor has competed in Vancouver in 2010, Sochi 2014, and Pyeongchang in 2018, and started out her bobsledding career in 2007. And by the way, she's won 3 silver and 2 bronze.
And then we have the Netherlands athlete Irene Wust, who became the first athlete to win individual gold medals at 5 different Olympic Games. And during the most recent Games, Wust was able to set an Olympic record in the women's speed skating 1,500-meter race. And of course, those aren't her only medals. She has a total of 12 Olympic medals since she started in 2006. And not that it matters, but she did become the oldest speed skater to win gold at 35.
Right. That seems to be a theme, by the way, age. And I get it. But then seeing her age at 35, I'm like, I'm dying after doing a Zumba class. So at 41. Cool. Very cool. Mm-hmm. Moving on to German competitor Natalie Geisenberger. Geisenberger became the first 3-time women's luge singles gold medalist. The 9-time world champion and 6-time Olympic champion is one of the most decorated female athletes and is regarded as one of the best in luging, which is a very terrifying sport to me. And I hold my breath every time I see it, thinking someone's going to be just off. Mm-hmm. Gone. Yeah. By the way, she started doing all of this at the age of 10.
Wow.
I'm petrified.
Wow. Oh my gosh. I'm once again thinking about Star Wars. Getting bought into the Jedi Order at a young age. But all right, that's a different conversation. And we have another Netherlands athlete breaking records, Suzanne Schulting, who set a new record in the women's 1,000-meter short track. Schulting beat the record by finishing the quarterfinals race with a record time of 1 minute, 26 seconds, a couple milliseconds. In the finals, she finished in 1 minute, 28 seconds, and 3.391 milliseconds. And of course, won gold. And I hope I did not mess that up. But I believe that is correct. You can always let me know. And then there is German Olympian Claudia Pechstein, who has become the oldest woman athlete to compete at the Winter Olympics. She's 49, about to turn 50. Pechstein is also the only woman to ever compete in 8 Olympic Games. Woof. She has won a total of 9 medals, 5 gold, 2 silver, and 2 bronze.
Right. I think she may have just turned, I think she's already turned 50 because, the Olympics, when did it end? Like a month ago?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think she was like 2 weeks away from being 50, so that was really significant. Mm. But yeah, I did. I was like, wait, what is today? Y'all, I'm so all over the calendar. I can't even tell you.
Also, our weather in Georgia right now wild.
It is bonkers. It's going to be like freezing cold to 21.
And yesterday it was like 80. It's wild.
Anyway, we're a little bit fuzzy right now when it comes to time and weather and seasons, apparently.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Erin Jackson, who is an American speed skater who won the gold medal in the women's 500-meter race. She is the first Black woman to take home this medal and the first American woman to medal since 1992 for this race. And not to take away from Jackson's well-deserved win, I feel like her story is a little bit about friendship and women supporting women as well. Jackson almost missed the Olympics because there's only 2 slots available. And due to an error in the trials, she was like number 3. At that point, but teammate Brittany Bowe forfeited her place, which allowed for Jackson to compete. And Jackson was like, you know, I am so grateful for her for doing this. And talking of Jackson, Bowe said, words cannot explain how proud I am of her. I knew she had the chance to do something really special, and she just showed the world why she deserved to be here. And of course, again, I don't want to, because Jackson is a well-trained athlete who has done amazing things, and she is an amazing woman, and congratulations to her win. But I just really love that backstory of like, aw, yeah. Look at us. women loving each other.
Yes. And I actually saw, I witnessed this one because I didn't watch too much of the Winter Olympics, but I did see, I'd say like, you know, 30%. And I saw this one and it was very, very moving. She was just so like incandescent, like right. So happy. It was a really powerful, powerful moment.
Yeah. I love those times. And of course, we kind of want to end, not necessarily on a negative note, but just as a reminder of how far we have to go. And we talked a little bit about it when we were talking about the Summer Olympics, and the history of the Olympics in general. It's taken a lot for women to be able to even compete in general, and what kind of stakes that has taken. And even to this day, what we're talking about when it comes to outfits and sexist conversations about women and whether or not they can compete in specific things, racial discrimination within the Olympics as well, whole big conversation that we've had. So we did want to talk about a couple of topics, including the fact in the U.S., we had a headline in a big publication stating that possibly in the ice skating competition, that it was the Asian people were overly represented in that competition. And of course, got a lot of backlash. Mm-hmm. And we know that the Asian hate has been pretty rampant in the last 3 years, to the point that it's become very divisive in so many communities in any way. So when you see rhetoric like this, it's kind of like, huh, did you really want to antagonize people?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie. Yes, I have seen many representation of Asian women in ice skating, which, by the way, I've never had the hopes of doing so as an Asian woman myself. So I'm not really like, oh, yay. But Michelle Kwan and Christy Yamaguchi were two of the people that I'm like, oh, my God, look at these elegant women who are amazing, who look somewhat like me, mm-hmm. being hailed as heroes and icons. It was very unusual. And I hate that that's that, like, for like the overshadowing of this one article was like, yeah, but is it? This is probably overpopulated, like, with too many Asians. It's kind of like, what?
Yeah. Like, why?
What was the point of this?
Incorrect for one, but also why?
Like, I mean, why I've never seen any article saying it's over, like, there's too many white people in this.
Right.
That's exactly. Never been a statement. Like, wait, what? You literally have to search for people of color in competitions like this half the time. Even being international, you still have to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes. No, I know what you mean.
And then also the term slut strands has kind of become, maybe not to y'all. Maybe we get these alerts because we are constantly on the lookout for feminist headlines or anti-feminist headlines, both of those things. Mm-hmm. And so maybe it just popped up how we talked about how Google knows us a little too well.
Yeah.
And really wants to send our way. But recently, Chloe Kim came out talking about how she hated the term slut strands, which is when two strands of hair are left loose outside of competitor's helmet to frame their face. And y'all, I didn't expect to find as much information as I did. As in fact, there's a specific brand called slut strands that was correlated to skiing. I'm not a skier. I'm very scared of skiing. I don't want to fall that many times. That just looks so painful to fall so many times. I fall walking. So skiing looks like it should not be something I should take up as my ungraceful self. Mm-hmm. So the slut strands, like I told you, was a brand. Someone really just capitalized on it. And her name is Elsa. And she wrote about, you know, why she did it. And in it, she says, for years, the term slut strand has held a negative connotation in skiing and snowboarding, yet it remained to be a term we used every day. So why not embrace it, reclaim it, celebrate it? And the Slut Strand Society at its core is here to celebrate the ladies of skiing and snowboarding and give us a space in our division and band together. Girls are cool, okay. So kiss goodbye the ski hoes, the pro hoes, and all of that BS. We are far better than that and have the ability to create a society that is both uplifting and cool as So obviously she is trying to rebrand it, kind of how we've talked about reclaiming words, but it is. I think we need to understand the connotations and kind of dissect it before we can truly celebrate it, because hearing it as a newbie for me is like, what?
Right, right. And I would imagine a lot of people who use that term have not arrived at this viewpoint yet.
But I've never heard this term, but it is a big term. And I cannot believe, maybe it's just from the outside in, and people who are skiers are going to be like, you're being overly sensitive. I don't know. It just seems like, wow, I can't believe this term has stayed around, because it literally does talk about women being like, the word feminine has been thrown about as if like, this is how you show your femininity. This is how you show your passion, or your fashion rather. And this is what women do. It's kind of like, yeah, it's very pointed.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that you're using the word slut is pretty telling. Because I have to say, like, I'm somebody, I like to frame my face.
Yeah.
I've been told that I shouldn't, and I disagree. But I don't feel like that makes me a slut.
Right. I don't understand how that makes anyone slut. But let's also talk about the fact that some of the big articles around Chloe Kim, who, by the way, is one of the first women in Olympic history to win back-to-back gold in half pipe. Yeah, so she's a phenomenal athlete. But because she opposes this term, this type of article is what's surrounding her instead of her accomplishments.
Yeah.
So that, again, shows why this is a narrative that's like, yeah, it's a bit sexist.
Yeah, that's really frustrating to have these great athletic accomplishments and wins. And instead of celebrating that, we're like, but did you see her hair? It's ridiculous.
Right. I mean, and to the fact that wanting to be cute or presentable for national, international TV is now seen as a girl. You know, we already know those tropes anyway, to be completely reduced to this superficiality, which is not superficial. It's not superficial to want to be happy about the way you look when you go out and compete. And if you can look good while doing it, well, kudos. They should give another medal just for being able to do so. In like extreme things like that.
And also, like, I know I do things better when I feel like when I feel good about myself. Like,
right.
I can totally see if you're like, oh, I look good, and it builds your confidence, and then you nail that half pipe thing. Yes.
We're both really good at the skiing thing. It's snowboarding
thing. I've been skiing. It was fun, but I was bad at it. I was very bad indeed.
But yeah, I mean, it kind of has this conversation when what we're talking about in general is the damn if you do, damn if you don't. If you don't look pretty, now they're going to criticize you for looking homely. If you look too pretty, then what are you trying to impress? Why are you being a girly girl? It's kind of like, what?
Right.
Why? Just let it be. Mm-hmm. And yeah, again, like I said, I feel like any effort in general should be awarded, rewarded maybe. I don't know. I found that interesting. I feel like we're going to have this conversation about women's fashion in athletics. And I'm sure it's been had once, but coming back to look at it again about how it does really lean to be like, huh? Because we know, again, we had the whole thing with women's volleyball, women's gymnastics, about their costumes and or uniforms and it being specialized to be for the male gaze. Again.
Yeah.
Blug.
Yeah. No, for sure. There's a lot we can touch on that has come out recently about these games that has like always been there, but it's every now and then I catch myself being like, oh yeah, that is real messed up that we're still doing this. So we do have plans to come back to that. And there has been a lot of news in the world of sports that we're looking to visit in an upcoming episode. But in the meantime, listeners, as always, we would love to hear from you. If you have any ideas, suggestions, something we missed, you can email us at stuffmediamomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter at @MomStuffPodcast or on Instagram @StuffOnNeverToldYou. Thanks, as always, to our super producer, Christina.
Thank you.
And thanks to you for listening. Stuff I Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.